Well, how are you? Good to see you again. Good to see you. Very good to see you. I thought it was very good to see you.
Very kind of you to give me some of your precious time, Mr.
Well,
very, very busy.
Every time I come to Thailand, you give me some of your precious time. I always remember when I came out of office, the conversations we had in Thailand were delightful. You find, here's a man you're building up to be in the government someday.
Yes, true.
He had the same job you had,
Yes.
52 to 57.
That's right.
52 to 57. Is that a long time ago?
Yes.
That was 20 years ago you came here as a man.
20 years. I have sent my credentials to President Truman.
Of course, in 1952, and then served.
And I remained throughout the President Eisenhower's time.
That's right.
When you were vice president.
Right.
I should see you in the meeting. But like to know the progress of this negotiations.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, the security of labs in Cambodia must necessarily be taken into consideration. And if in the event that it involves us in any way or concerns us, we would like to be consulted a bit. If it concerns us,
yeah,
it's our concerns about that.
Yeah, the settlement and so forth, yeah. Well, let me just give you an overview of where the negotiations stand. There's been a lot of talk. The parties, as you might imagine, are still far apart. The difference now from what it was, for your private information, and you can pass it on to the Prime Minister, but the difference is that for the first time since these talks began in 1968, for the first time, the North Vietnamese seem to have an incentive for settlement. The point is that they have not yet indicated that that incentive is strong enough for them to make the kind of offer that we could possibly agree to, and the kind of an offer that the South Vietnamese could possibly accept, because we realize that that is involved too. Now, in our overall discussions, we always tie in Southeast Asia. We do not, so you can start at the term, you can say, well, all that America cares about is our withdrawal of our own forces and our POWs and, you know, and ceasefire and so forth and so on. We do not look at it that way. We look at it in terms of the ability of the South Vietnamese to survive independently and the evolution of communist government by force. And also we realize that they cannot do that unless Cambodia and Laos have some better opportunity to survive without these invading forces from North Vietnam present in their country and constantly harassing them. So that's why we talk about, as the military side of it, we always tie in North Vietnamese, South Vietnam, and South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. That is our goal. Now, insofar as any of that, you would have a vital interest in anything that was worked out here. I can tell you that there is nothing, in my view, that there's nothing been even discussed. We can't say anything offered them on our side that you would not totally approve up to this point. When we get down, and if we do, and we hope sometime to do it, my own candid opinion, frankly, is not before the election. They ought to, if they had any brains, judgment, realize that their bargaining position after this election, which Vietnam is going to be an issue, is going to be a lot weaker than it is now. Because if Vietnam is an issue, as it will be and has been in business, so if I should win the election, what do I owe them? Right? But, any event, we won't have nearly the other point that I make is that, and they do not see it this way, I do not anticipate that they will see the wisdom of making a settlement now, which they really ought to do. Would you like some sugar? Now, and on our part, I also want to assure you, as I said in the press conference yesterday, under no circumstances is the scenario of 1968. Under no circumstances is there going to be an agreement for a ceasefire or a bombing home or something like that. You know, it would affect the election. In fact, it would affect the enders or people being burned once with that, aren't you going to get it? So, what we come down to is that there could come a time, particularly because they are suffering from terror and badly. The bombing has been enormously effective. The South Vietnamese have fought well. They have demonstrated on the ground they can hold their own, provided we give them some air power assistance. So they've got their problems. The Soviet Union and the Chinese are not giving them the encouragement that they used to give. The Soviet Union and the Chinese, each for different reasons, them and their continued relationships with us. While we each have moves for each other, they for various reasons have to play games with us and others in the area. So all these factors would argue for some kind of settlement. And at some time, shall we say the near future, how near a future, God only knows. Maybe 3 months, I would say not before the election at this point. I'm very nervous of anything happening. Could. If they see clearly that their bargaining position is going to be worse after the election, they ought to settle now. But they don't. Then 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, because the game will be different then. They don't settle now. After the election, we will not feel the restraints that we feel now. Now, when that comes, I want you to know that we are very aware of the fact that the interests of Thailand, being neighbors as you are, your interests will not only have in mind, but we will also consult with you on settlement. When we get to that point, you should be, because you're going to want to know how the thing is going to come out, and we have that very much in mind. In fact, that's, but it has not yet reached the point where we agree anything that we can lay on the table and say, look, we're going to present this, and accept.
France was pressed to come to some agreement within certain date,
yeah.
Which he committed himself, and they had to turn the clock back after midnight and allowed some communists to stay in Laos, also in some of the two provinces next to communist China and North Vietnam. That has proved quite disastrous for the Laos. The other matter which we had a meeting of the Asian foreign ministers, which I can think that is Indonesia, Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, and ourselves. And the foreign minister of Indonesia, Malik, told me that privately that maybe it's a little time to go through the North Vietnamese, who are represented. Told him that we are suffering a bit. We are suffering a great deal, and we must do something to help the settlers. That's what he said. So we proposed something, a 4 points, which we thought was equitable, fair, and withdraw the prisoner of war and also the troops within 4 months in days. The prisoner would go to the third country. Settlement, political settlement, settle, and all the forces should be returned to their own respective countries. That would refer to Laos and Cambodia. But they haven't done, they haven't come to a favorable reaction yet. This is the Asian countries who have also stood. But these are things that they're putting together. Now, yesterday I met with the Chinese leader
in New York.
This is our first contact with them.
You
have. He seemed
very, very intelligent.
Very, very much.
Very, very, very sophisticated.
They invited our tennis team to China.
Yeah.
I heard about it.
I heard all about it.
And I said, my he was the Minister of Economics together with the team. And they arranged for him to see Joe Fly. They invited the team to spend another 7 days as guests for Chinese government. And at the reception and dinner, Joe Fly attended. It seems to me they've gone out of their way to be nice to the side. We haven't yet evaluated what is behind their mind. But yesterday, in our conversation, we seemed to against the Russians. And they did mention, they mentioned United States forces in Taiwan.
Correct.
They didn't say much about in our country. They said that,
they probably mentioned Cambodia.
No,
they didn't mention it. They're very hung up on that because it's Shia. That's the only other one there. They never, we talked to them, they didn't say anything about Taiwan to us. They had no hard words at all when we talked to them.
Yes. They also say that your forces in our country was for the purpose of Vietnam War, and after that there would be no need to be there. It's not so. I said, well, that's between the United States and Taiwan to discuss.
I think it's very likely that, I mean, you've still got the problem in the Northeast, Georgia, and the rest of
the country. Yes, but that is our problem.
It's your problem. I mean, it's to the extent, it's up to you, but to the extent that you think that some sort of presence is there, you work it out. That's not there, but that's ours.
We'll have to see how the cessation of hostilities in Vietnam, see how it happens.
How it affects, right.
But I told them we will have to work that out.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's something that's, we don't want anybody, any forces present where people don't want them. But we also aren't going to be driven out by silly ideas.
I think one of the reasons which they have tried to analyze their attitude towards us is, I think, the presence of a big number, large number of Chinese in our country. And we have treated them very, very, very friendly.
You brought them right into it.
We have been able to assimilate Chinese, but through the wisdom of our forefathers,
right.
They never allowed Chinese schools. We never had diplomatic relations with them. We treated them very, very ably.
That's probably why they respect you, the Chinese.
Perhaps, I think.
Sure. They don't respect weakness. I mean, they respect character, strength, dignity.
The two other things that Marshall Long asked me to discuss with you probably take too long. And one is your position with Taiwan.
Yeah.
Because we are exactly the same position.
Yeah. Well, our position is going to remain the same. It's a very difficult one. We seem to be very much at home now with Japan having moved. But we feel that we first have a treaty commitment. Whether they are second concern, interestingly enough, is about India. Now, they won't say much about India because they have contempt for the Indians as a military power and perhaps as a people. But their concern is that India, with Russian help, practically gobbled up Pakistan, who was their friend. And they see India, with Russian help, becoming a part of a grand encirclement. Russia, here's part, and here's India down below. And India's got a 500 million people. Maybe with India alone, they'd do nothing, but India with Russia is quite a potential. Their third concern, and I think it's still there, despite the fact they've had this, they talk with Japan, it's about Japan. Both Japan and PRC, I think, made this arrangement for reasons that historical necessity. I mean, you can't have the third most productive nation in the world, Japan, and the most populous nation sitting there as neighbors and not have economic contact, potentially political contact, and all that sort of thing. Oh, Japan paid a heavy price in one respect because Taiwan is a better customer of theirs than China. But Japan concerns them for other reasons than India does, as distinguished from the Indians, for whom they have contempt. The Japanese, they have respect because they know they're able people, and also they respect them because of their enormous economic potential. And looking down the road, while Japan, we now, you and I know, has constitutional ambitions with regard to developing military force. The Chinese, remember, the Japanese have fought them on several occasions, and they know that in the modern world, an economic potential is the first necessary step before you have a military potential. So here they sit. China sits there, surrounded. Russia, whom they consider now an enemy, on the one side. India on the south, also a potential enemy. One they can handle, but it's there with Russian help. Japan, in the future, if Japan should ally with Russia, could be quite a problem. What is left? Here's the United States in the middle, and from Japan, we're down in India. They look at the United States. Here, we're the ones they should hate the most because of our differences in philosophies. We fought also in Korea. On the other hand, they realize that U.S. interests are not going to be served by any policy of attempting to encircle China or to decimate it or to fight it. Or to confront it any place there. Of the great powers that surround them, with all the faults they think the United States has, interestingly enough, they do not believe that the United States is embarking on a policy of conquest or domination in that part of the world. And that is the reason, in my view, I'm not putting words in their mouth, I'm going to say one word, they determine for their interests that they should have a different relationship with the U.S. because they did not want to be surrounded by enemies or potential enemies. Now, of course, it's already paid some dividends. The Japanese, China, detente. To a lesser area, the Korea detente that is beginning to develop. Oh, that's still a long way up. Another thing it has for them, what's in it for them, is that the fact they have this relationship with the United States gives them somewhat of a feeling of security against the enormous threat that they think that the Soviet presents. Now, the other side of this coin, of course, is our relations with the Soviet. We're playing it very even-handed. We're not, and the worst thing that we can do, you know, from your long experience, you know, I don't know the ambassador so long. When we talk about him. I know he's a great economic expert now, but I know he's one of the premier diplomats. So we talk about the, what I didn't say is that you look at the Soviet proceeded with an environment agreement, and we're going to have a trade agreement probably, and we've got a science agreement, a space agreement, and a more important arms agreement. Now, what does all this mean? Why? Why does the Soviet do it? They have various reasons, too. I won't try to judge what their reasons are, except certainly. The Soviet, as they look down the road 25 years, would not like to see a world in which the United States, China, and Japan interests come in conflict, there's always a chance of that spreading into something that is neither of us want. And the same is true in Europe. We finally worked out the Berlin Agreement. So, in my view, what is happening here in the world scene is not a case which some people will say in the United States sitting down, President of the United States sitting down with Joe and I and us and talking and deciding how we're going to decide what the future of the Pacific is. Not true. Or the President of the United States sitting down with Russia and deciding we're going to decide the future of Europe. Not true. Each for its own selfish interests, and ours are selfish too, is attempting to build the kind of a world in a balance which will be safer than it's been previously. We're going to have a lot more hands with the Soviet as they make their moves on Romania, on Poland, and others that fear them more than even the Europeans do, or the Western Europeans. We have our influence there than we would otherwise. And they, on their part, they get a lot of it. Because what do they want? Do they want the world's most populous nation and the world's most presently most prosperous nation in, say, cooperation against them? Potentially. They can't do that. So our policy will continue to be to play these. Now, where you come in my view, and I think the tie is better than most of you can understand. You've got new leaders. The South Koreans, well, it's an old country, haven't had much experience in self-government. They just haven't got the condition. I must say that if you get down to Malaysia, Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew is a very, very sophisticated fellow. He understands these things very well. But in Cambodia, the leader, Laos, Cambodians think of Cambodia, Laos, etc. Your people, you and your leaders, I find, have always thought of the whole area because you lived in it so long. That's how you survived. You lived in it as a government. You have a tradition. Where you were involved, where I think the new China policy, as well as the Soviet policy, is really helpful to you is this. If we stand in total isolation from the PRC, we will have no influence on that. Our only influence will be the threat that the event they do something, we might move. But that threat becomes less and less credible after the United States has been through Korea and then been through Vietnam. It becomes less credible. It must still stay there. That's why I will not cut the Navy and I will not cut the Air Force, because we've got to have these conventional forces to be there just to say, now look here, you fool around, we're ready to move, and we will. But it becomes less credible than it was because they, but we feel that if we, with China, of course, maybe not, let's face it, they may have designs on Taiwan. Would be surprised that it certainly would balance of Southeast Asia. Absolutely on Taiwan. And certainly, I would say they'd like to have more influence over Japan and Korea and the rest. But above all else, they've got to think of their survival. And their survival will depend upon what they are able to hold off. Somebody holds the ring against the big brother, the Soviet. Now, who do they have to turn to here? And whose interest is it? It's us. And in that story, we, I think, by having this new relationship with the PRC, putting that subject always foremost before them, I think we, thereby, can have an ameliorating effect on what otherwise would be a policy inevitably of expansion, like a blocker that is sonic of everything around it. I'm under no illusions. I know you that hate everything in Chinese, when you've got the Chinese influence on the overseas communities, when you've got the ability, when you've got their history and the rest. If I were sitting in Thailand or Indonesia, I should have mentioned Indonesia, it's enormously important to all this. For the rest, I'd be a little somewhat concerned about what are China's eventual desires and so forth. On the other hand, I think that the new relationship with the U.S. has with China, I would never have done this except for this, because you know my commitment to free nations of Asia. That's where it lies. I would never have done this except that I felt that over the long haul, I think the short haul, doing nothing, the PRC would have been fine. Worked for 5 years, maybe. time now to make the moves of the U.S. at a time they needed us. We moved, and then we can influence them, perhaps, in a more turning inward policy rather than turning outward policy. Now, that's basically the philosophy that I have to talk these things publicly, but I find it to be very welcome to pass it on to you, Mr. Rubio.
I'm grateful to you, Spencer, and this is comforting to realize that you do take interest in this whole affair and relating to particularly Asia. From the outside, they seem to think that the United States is about to pull out.
No.
This is right. This is the link.
Now, let me say there's one other thing that is part of this policy. Now, that's nonsense. I noticed this following government said he padlocked all the bases in the Pacific. Well, now that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. What's going to happen to Japan? And if the United States gives up its treaty commitment with Japan, with its enormous industrial power, with its schizophrenic attitude toward power, with the frustration of having lost the war, is either going to make a deal with the Russians, who are the only ones powerful enough to make a deal with, or they're going to rearm, and either way it's bad. So that would be bad. Beyond that, my conviction is that free Asia has demonstrated that it can do better than communist Asia. I believe it. The Japanese, the Koreans, the Taiwanese, the Philippines, even with their current problems, the Indonesians, of course, even though they've had to come from a pretty bad state since that horrible problems, they're fighting the Chinese, the Thais, the Southeast Asians, and so forth, and then clear on over to Burma. But my point is that the survival of free Asia is uppermost in my mind. America, just as the survival of free Europe is uppermost in my mind. We will do nothing with the Russians, we will do nothing with the Chinese, which will in any way impair that survival. Now, that is why we cannot unilaterally withdraw our forces from Europe. I would never do that. Hear a lot of talk like that. That would be something. If we do, the whole thing will unravel. Multilaterally, if the Europeans and the Warsaw Pact people agree that there's some sort of reduction we can both make, we will make it. But that is yet to be seen. I've yet to see a formula that I would approve. Now, in Asia, a continued U.S. presence in Asia, adequate to keep our commitments, is essential. And let me say another thing. I've talked about these Chinese games. Which put himself in the position of Joe and I, Thompson Tucky in his old age, the others around. After all, they took the long march. After all, they are communists. After all, they're very proud. They are Chinese. Now, they'll say we're only interested in the problems that we have no desire for expansion and all that sort of thing. But great peoples inevitably expand. Inevitably. At this stage in their development. I mean, it's still a very young country as a government. Now, looking at this situation, it seems to me that the only way this policy toward the PRC is going to work is if the United States maintains its presence on the perimeter of the mainland of China. If we maintain that presence, we will command their respect. We'll be worth talking to. If we withdraw, why should they talk to us? We're too far away. There's another reason there that this is very important to them. They again look at the big Russian brother up there. What do they want? Do they want 40 or 50 Russian divisions on one road on one thing and a few Americans at Fort McNair? So you see, even though the Chinese will say for public statements that consumption, the United States should get out of Asia, should get out of Japan, should break its treaty. Get out of Thailand, get not help Indonesia, so forth and so on. I don't think deep down they really want them. And we're not going to get out. We're going to stay. That's why the Nixon doctrine is basically one that is not a way to get out, but a way to stay in, a way to work, to help the countries so they can help themselves, but there has to be some American presence in addition. That's my philosophy.
And we incline to believe that the Chinese also wish the United States forces to remain in Europe. That is for Russia.
Oh.
And also...
You see, if we remain in Europe, that means the Russians have two fronts.
Yeah.
You bet your life. And also...
They don't mind keeping forces in Asia. The only thing they would want is to your forces to be taken out of Taiwan. That's prestige.
Taiwan's prestige. Very important thing for Taiwan. That's one that we just aren't going to do. We just can't talk about it. You understand that it's difficult, you know, the problems. But we had it out there. Our communique is very skillfully written. It means one thing, but then one thing to another. But we're going to keep it.
On that part, we should not jump into it.
Right.
We think very carefully.
We can count on you. Well, I mean, you can count on us to confide in you and so forth. And we will certainly, incidentally, I guess we have to go here. I'd like to say a word to the ambassador of all. Wait, before you go, you get the press conference. These are newest that were made of the seal right on the flag, you see, in color. There's a no name on it, so you're not taking sides in our election. There it is.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Secure.
Good luck to you. I just received it the other day. This man was a marvelous man, too.
No, he would certainly be acceptable, I'm sure. But I just talked to my question, Don.
Right, if you would. And let us know, and then pass that through a private channel to, so that, I mean, don't send it through to President Madison.
No, no.
Let us know through your ambassador here, and just talk to let, just, you know. And that's all I need to know.
Through.
Well, just get it. Yeah, if you get to Kissinger, but you, I don't mind your ambassador here. I mean, just so.
Yes. I just say that what you suggested is.
Yeah, exactly. What you suggested in our private conversation would be acceptable. That's all I need. Send that kind of a message.
I should do that.
But don't send it through our channel, the city, so I don't want that, what we're talking about. But then I don't intend to do it until after the election, actually. But I want to put somebody strong who will tell me what the situation really is. When he sees some of the problems, James, he can go there, right out there with the forces, and make recommendations and so forth.
Good. Before I leave the president, about President Thomas, asking to pay to as well as a part of myself, and we hope you will be successful.
Well,
I can testify if you prove otherwise.
Well, we'll do our best. We've been such good friends that I am most grateful for it. I just love to come there, my wife and I. We sent all our friends, we sent the Conleys and everybody else over. We hear your Conleys. Well, my best due to all that, and also to His Majesty.
I shall.
I hope sometime after this election that we can have the state visit when they come here. I don't know if they didn't want to go, but when we get Vietnam off the burner and the rest, it would make a very fine impression here.
I can say that the troops, the number of troops in Thailand now, which is more than any country in Asia, I think.
Yeah.
Horses.
Yes. More than true. Yeah. Really? Right.
And the people.
Did they hate?
Yes.
I was there before, and they saw them misbehave.
Well, I saw it
out there with you, and I received it.
I just didn't kiss. But the people.
People are people. That's all. Well, I mean, you can't. Nobody's perfect. Yeah. Not even senators. Well, here we go this way. That's yours. That's the way you used to go. You came.
Yes,
that was where that went through Tom Stevens' office, but that's now been made into a private office for some other.
I thought this room was larger than this. Did you have it there?
No.
Oh, it's the same size.
It's the same size. It's been redecorated now in white. That makes it a little bit. These curtains are put in for television.
Well, take care of yourself.
Thank you. You take care of yourself. Good to see you.